Welcome into another edition of the Woj Pod. Here with one of the best stories in all of the NBA this year and kind of this dark and dreary season. Christian Wood of the Houston Rockets, probably the free agent signing of the summer at 3 years and $41 million coming to the Rockets. Christian, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me, Woj.
Thanks for jumping in. And it's first, let me ask, last night against the Lakers, no thought of jumping in one of those fights? Maybe getting a little suspension, a fine? No?
I'm trying to stay in my lane. We got a big cuz for those type of things. But I try and stay out of the way of that.
He is legit NBA muscle, isn't he?
Yeah, he's our muscle, so we beat him.
That's great. Listen, you've been this season, this is pretty amazing to me. I think you're third in the league, most consecutive 20-point games. It goes back to last season. I think you've got 12 now, and Bradley Beal is one, and I think Colin Sexton might be the other, which is amazing. I knew Giannis had one under, but that's a pretty good streak. But your numbers, Christian, 23, almost 10 rebounds a game, 2 blocks, 1.3 assists. And now, you know what they said last year. Well, he's having a good year with the Pistons. But once you give this guy money, once you guarantee his contract, watch his production
go down,
go in the tank, right? That's what he's got no reason to – he's not going to play for you.
For sure.
So you've crossed that one off the list too, right?
Yeah, I've for sure crossed that one off. And I've definitely crossed the one off where people were saying and talking about a small sample size. So I've crossed those two off the list.
What has it been like? Listen, you've been – it's funny. Even go back to high school. You played at a couple different high schools. You did play at UNLV for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then you've played 6 different teams in the NBA, a bunch more G League teams. You went to China and came back. What is it like to show up with a long-term contract, a real investment in you, and, you know, just it's different than anything you've experienced at 25 years old now?
For sure. I mean, it's a lot. It shows my resilience and shows my passion to the game and me just, you know, never giving up. I told Mark Jacobs before that, you know, it's my time and that I felt like a lot of people were asleep on me and you know that it's my time to show myself and prove myself. And I think I'm going out there and doing a great job of doing that.
I want to talk about your path, your journey. It's a pretty remarkable story, Christian. But this team in Houston this year, hey, listen, there's unrest everywhere. Like there's stuff that people know about in public, right? Like Houston, where people know James has asked for a trade. It's been out there. You have the preseason trade for John Wall and Russell Westbrook. And then you've been around the league. You've been in enough locker rooms. There's stuff people never hear about, but is going on within teams. What's the environment been like in Houston this year once James got in there and you're trying to figure out, well, how long is this team going to be together? You know, how good could we all be if we stay together? What's it been like to be a part of that?
Believe it or not, the team's chemistry has been great. You know, since James has got in, we've all clicked, especially, you know, since James and John have known each other before even being on the team with each other. They already had an established relationship, so it was great. And then John and Boogie Cousins had a relationship, so they just meshed well. We all just really come together. I think our only thing was that we just didn't have enough practice time together as a group. So, you know, it'll be either, you know, two guys are out, or, you know, James would be out or John would be out. We've never just had that group as a whole until like maybe a couple games. So, you know, the sky's the limit for us. And I think we can make a push in the Western Conference.
What's it like? You guys went through the COVID stuff really early in the season. You had your first game postponed. What's it like day in and day out where you're wondering, all of a sudden you hear a couple teammates may have tested positive or teammate, and then this guy's in contact tracing and now they're checking. The uncertainty of it day to day, what has that been like this year in this league?
It's tough, especially with all the testing that we're doing, all the, you know, the requirements we have to do to go through this COVID thing where we get tested at, you know, certain times and we have to wait 30 minutes for the results to get back. So we're just, you know, we're just waiting and it's tough. It's something new to us. We know we've never actually been in a pandemic, so We're still learning, still trying to get through it. And I know the league is still working together and trying to learn how to try and fix things, trying to go through this contract tracing stuff. And, you know, my team has been a big, you know, they've been a part of it. So We had guys sit out because of, you know, contact tracing and stuff like that. So it's just something that is tough, but we have to get past it and find a way to work with it.
I mean, you were at the very beginning of this. I think people forget this.
Yeah.
You put up 30-11 on Rudy Gobert in March. 30-11 and I think it was seven dunks.
Right.
Seven dunks on him. Rudy tests positive. And then you didn't test positive until it was about a week later, right?
Yeah, it was the Philly game.
It was a Philly game. And then
that's when the league shut down.
Right. And but what was different then was you didn't get your test back in an hour or two.
No.
How long did it take from when you got tested to when you found out you were positive?
It was actually crazy because that game that I played against Joel Embiid, I wasn't feeling very right. I knew like something was wrong. So I went to our training staff with the Detroit training staff and I got, you know, tests. I said, something's wrong. They said, oh, you know, it might just be like a mild cold or, you know, a fever or something. I was like, nah, no cold feels like this. So I actually go into that game playing with the virus without even knowing. And then, you know, come to find out that the league is shutting down right after the game. But I got the news back probably right after that game. That's when they knew.
Being at the very beginning of that and knowing a lot less about it than people know in this country now, right, how frightening was it when you weren't feeling well and you didn't know, is this going to progress? Am I going to get worse? What was it like initially with the virus and not knowing what it might do to your body?
At the time, you know, I was scared for my life because, you know, I was one of two players to have it in the NBA, which is scary. Now, so I didn't know what was going on with the virus. The team didn't really know how to handle the situation. The league was just shutting down at the time. So we were still trying to assess that. And, you know, I was scared. You know, I called my mom and I called my family and I just stayed close to them. And I did the best I could to be in a quarantine.
Did you stay in your apartment, your house?
I had to stay in my apartment by myself. Nobody wanted to come near me. And I was in there for about 3 weeks.
You went 3 weeks without seeing anybody?
Without seeing anybody, yeah.
How long were you feeling symptoms in that?
I only felt symptoms for about a day or two, and I got better after that, and I was perfectly fine, healthy.
What's that isolation like, especially when the world's shutting down outside around you?
Yeah, outside around me, especially everything like cities. You watch cities shutting down and stuff like that. It was crazy. You know, I definitely would say I was definitely lonely, but I learned to play, you know, a lot of video games at that time. So it was definitely a blessing.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand slams, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks, sports availability varies by zip code, and requires choice package.
Christian, your journey to the league, I remember being at your pro day coming out of UNLV.
Right.
It was in Vegas.
Yep.
It was kind of the headliner that day was Kristaps Porzingis, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
He had come over. I remember all the Knicks front office was there, Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher was the coach, and all of their skin. They had an army of people there to see him.
Whole team there, yeah.
Yeah, but there were other pros, and you were, at that time, you were probably certainly the next player everybody wanted to see and people knew Chris Apps was going to go to the top of the draft. I think you're a lot more teams were watching you. I know all 30 teams were there that day. It was a big time pro day.
Sure.
I have my memories of it. And it was really I guess people scout you, but those days have some value. What do you remember? Because you walk in the gym, everybody in the league's there. In your mind, I think at that time, you're coming out early because you're a first round pick. Mm-hmm. How do you remember that day going?
I remember that day going good. You know, I walked in the gym. I see all the GMs. I meet Phil Jackson for the second time. And, you know, I knew as soon as I see everybody that I had to bring my A game in the workout. And that's what I tried to do. And I tried to show them my versatility. I tried to show teams that I could, you know, shoot three and I could take bigs off the dribble and that I'm more mobile than, you know, a lot of other bigs.
And then from there, you go undrafted, which I think was shocking to everybody. I don't think there was a player that people maybe, you know, a lot of guys can drop out of the first round, but your size, skill, how unique you are at 6'10", that kind of a player who fits your mold doesn't typically drop all the way out of the draft. What was it that they thought about you at the time, that your sense of why is this happening to me? What did you think was the reason it was happening to you at that time?
I mean, from what I heard it was just my sense of urgency, my immaturity, and then, you know, them just saying, you know, my work ethic. But, you know, my rebuttal to that was I averaged, I think, about 5 points my freshman year. And then going into my sophomore year, I turned the 5 points into 16 points and 10 rebounds. So if that's not, you know, work ethic, then I don't know, you know, what is. So how could you question that? And then it was just me being, you know, young at the time. I was one of the youngest players to come out of the draft, I believe. And, you know, it was just hard to make that decision that if you're a GM. But, you know, I believed in my skill set at the same time.
When you look back at that time, what were they right about you? Where you say, you know what, I look back and this was a criticism of me. And maybe they got that right in terms of whether you said it was maturity, whether it was professionalism, whether it was like one team said to me, like, he's a good kid. He's not someone who you worry about character trouble. It's, can he get the alarm clock to work? It was more that stuff. Is that a fair assessment?
I would say that's pretty fair. I would say that comes in with, you know, immaturity at the same time. You know, I was a young kid coming in 19. I wasn't, you know, I was on a Philadelphia team. I think at that time we was one of the worst teams in the NBA. So it was definitely a learning process for me, just, you know, coming into the league and trying to establish myself and being an undrafted guy and then trying to make a name for yourself. And then at the same time, you have to understand that you're undrafted. You have to do all the little things. You have to be 4 hours before games. And, you know, at the time, I wasn't really understanding that. So, you know, I got a better assessment of it now for sure. You know, I'm better now.
What was it like being in Philly at that time with what was going on there and the losing? And
It was like I said, it was a learning process. It was definitely different. I felt like I got better. I felt like I was going up against great bigs, you know, every day. I was going up against Joel in practice every day, even though he wasn't playing that year. I was going up against Jahlil, Nerlens. So that whole time throughout that process, even though I wasn't playing, I was still getting better going up against premier bigs that play in the league.
And you're going up against guys too. I mean, Jahlil Okafor was in your draft.
Right.
And he went third in a draft. You don't get picked at all. You know, he's still in the league. You're still in the league. Actually, he went to Detroit as you left Detroit. You know, things haven't exactly worked out probably the way they imagined with him. But when you're there, is there part of you going, wait a minute, he went third in the draft and I went undrafted and I'm on the court with him and I'm going, I'm not sure there's a difference here. In fact, I think I might be better than him. Did that cross your mind when you'd be?
I wouldn't necessarily. I always thought me being like at the time, I was immature at the time. I always thought I was just better than any person in front of me. And I still have this mindset, you know, to this day, but It definitely crossed my mind. But at the time, he was averaging 18 points a game, I think, as a rookie. So he was having a great season. So it was kind of hard to tell a coach, hey, coach, put me in this undrafted kid.
Yeah.
He did have a good start.
He did have a good start in Philly.
Kid averaging 18 points a game. So it was a little tough. But at the same time, like I said before, I've always believed in my game.
Did it feel chaotic in Philly at that time? Was it a place to sort of sharpen?
It was
things that you needed to sharpen away from the court with the environment not maybe set up yet for that?
I wouldn't say the environment was too right. It was definitely just a little chaotic. And I think at the time, one of the reasons why I got waived was for Elton Brand. They needed to bring a veteran presence in because we had such a young team. And, you know, off the court stuff was starting to affect on court. And so that's really, I think, one of my first times being waived was for Elton Brand, who was crazy. He's the GM now of Philadelphia 76ers.
When you would get waived by teams, were they telling you the same thing each time? Now, sometimes it's a roster thing. We need a guard. We're going to bring in Tim Frazier. You get told different reasons. I'm sure they all told you, hey, listen, you have a future in this league. Stick with it. You're a talented young man. But was the one in China, when you go to China, you pack up, that's like a pretty big bridge to cross, I think, mentally. I'm going to leave the NBA. I'm going to go to a very different place and try to get my career started, restarted. And did you even play a game in China before they?
I played two preseason games in China. That was it.
And they told you what?
And then they told me that they didn't think I was good enough to play in the league, in the CBA. They didn't think I was ready. I kind of looked at them crazy. But then, like, the next day they had my replacement. And I was practicing against my replacement without me even, you know, knowing it. So after that, I just knew, you know, my time was up in China. And it was a testing point for me. It tested me for sure.
When they said you weren't good enough, do you think it was simply that? Had you been like late for a practice or had you, you know, is there anything?
Honestly, that's just what they believed. I was never late for a practice. I showed up. We did two-a-days every day before the preseason in China. And I was there for 2-3 months working out with the team, just trying to figure it out. It's just something that, you know, they believed. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes. So they're forgiven.
Is that one, though, even if you don't believe they're right and you're like, come on, I can play, I can dominate here. They don't see it. But is there still a part of you at that moment that goes, I don't know, maybe everybody else is right and I'm wrong? I mean, what does it do to your confidence, your belief to try to keep pushing forward and getting some traction in your career?
It's a testing point for sure. And it shows what type of, you know, man you are. At the same time, it shows that, you know, how much confidence you have in yourself and how much confidence you have in your game. And I have, you know, the utmost confidence in myself and in my game. And I just knew that I needed an opportunity. I seen, like, every time I would step on the NBA floor, that in a short amount of times I would do, like, a little something here and there. So I just always thought in my head, like, maybe what if I got 20 minutes in the game? Like, what could I do then? Maybe what if I got 30 minutes in the game? What could I do? What could I possibly do then? I just always was waiting for my opportunity. So I was going to keep shooting and keep trying until I got that opportunity.
There's a point here where you change agents. You go with Adam Pensack. You have a kind of a business manager, Zvi Grossman.
Right.
What were the conversations you were having with these guys about, okay, because so much of it is about the opportunity you pick. You get different offers to go to summer league or to go to this training camp, but you got to figure out where's the place that I might have the best opportunity. Maybe they're not all offering, maybe the money's kind of all non-guaranteed, sort of the same. How did you game plan at that point with them?
Honestly, there was no game plan for me. I had, you know, no teams, no one in me. I think the only team that wanted me off of waivers was only one team to offer, which was New Orleans at the time when they picked me up. But there was no game plan. It was just whatever team that wanted me, I had to go on and show that, you know, what I can do and show my skill set and, you know, show that I'm a different type of player.
How much at that point do you feel like you're fighting against people want to put you in a box and say, he's this, he's the guy you can't count on, or he's the guy, well, these guys have all given up on him, so why should we, they can't all be wrong. As you're growing and maturing and your resolve gets better as you're going through this, how much of a struggle is it to just start to sort of beat back the stereotypes or just the narrative that starts to shape when people hear the name Christian Wood?
It's tough. It took me 3 to 4 years to try and change, you know, a narrative on me that people were wrong about. You know, it took that long. And I wouldn't just say it's because of the opportunity. It's just because, you know, that they didn't really, you know, see me or know me. But it's a struggle, but it's something that, you know, I've worked towards and I've worked for. And, you know, I know the work I put out. Every place I go to, I put in the time, I put in the effort, and I put in the work. You know, that's going to take care of itself.
Was there ever a moment that felt like a turning point or a game or a night or a stretch where you said, I'm going to be in this league. I'm good enough to be here and do this night for night. Do you ever remember that in any of these stops?
I would probably say I felt that way when I was in Milwaukee. I was going up against – I got the opportunity, actually. Me and Giannis are still friends to this day. We got the opportunity to work with each other and play a bunch of one-on-one and stuff like that. And I really felt like my game was definitely getting better. And I was competing with him. And at the time, they were the number one team in the league, and he was in the race for MVP. And I'm sitting here telling you, whether people believe it or not, that I was competing with the MVP in practice almost every day, and I was holding my own. You know, most wouldn't believe me, but I knew where my game stood. And that's when I was like, okay, maybe I can, you know, play in this league. And then I went to New Orleans, and I had the opportunity to show up with Coach Gentry, and I felt like I did that.
What did you learn being around Giannis day in and day out?
Just the work, man. You know, after games, we're lifting. The next day, when there's days off, we're in the gym together. Just the work he put in, and it's the focus and the mentality. He's only focused on, you know, basketball, family, and, you know, trying to win. And then you really, I've been on several teams before this, so you really don't come across a lot of guys like that. And that really stuck to me.
Had you come across any guys like him? Is there anybody like him in terms of focus, work, how driven he is? Is there anybody that you came across that you could compare him to?
In my stops that I've been at, I would probably say Anthony Davis was the closest to him in terms of his approach, his mindset, his work ethic. He was the closest thing to him, I would say.
And here is, you play with probably the two most talented big men in the league, just the most gifted in different ways, both tenacious workers. And you're bouncing, like in Milwaukee, you're playing with a Herd, who's their G League team. You're putting up 30 points a night there. And then you come back, right? You drive back over to Milwaukee, and you're with him. And then in New Orleans, I think you were just with their team. But listen, you know when you can hang with somebody. You know that when you can play with them. And you're doing it against AD, and you're doing it against Giannis. And I guess I just wonder, was there part of that that just said, I'm here and I'm doing it? And you also know when you're getting the respect of that guy across from you. Like, what did that, what both guys do for you?
It helped my game. You know, it actually showed me, and I believe to this day that I could compete with the best bigs in the league. You know, I've showed it, whether people believe it or not, I've showed it, you know, a bunch of times that I compete with them. And I've earned, you know, respect from Giannis, and I've earned respect from AD. And they believe that I could compete with them and some of the best bigs in this league. And that's what it's come to show me.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
When you think back to the teams who maybe just gave up on you and said, we're not believing what we're seeing, or for whatever reason, we're moving on. Were there parts, times, especially early on, where you thought, you know what, maybe I was talented enough, but there was something, were they right about you in any way? When you look back, and if you're honest with yourself, you go, I don't know if I was ready to do what I'm doing now in Houston, which is 23 points a game, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks. And those are all-star numbers in the Western Conference. Do you look back and say, well, maybe I just wasn't ready to do this? Or did you always think, if you give me the minutes, I could have been doing this years ago?
I always felt like if I had actually had the opportunity, if a team actually spent the time to actually really invest in me, that, you know, I could produce and doing what I'm doing now. I'm not saying that as a rookie or as, you know, a sophomore in the league that I'll be putting up 23-10 of what I'm doing now. This is obviously, you know, my fifth year or fourth year in the league. And it took time. But you know, I would just say, just, you know, if I was given the opportunity, that I would be able to, maybe I could have had an earlier chance to, you know, be doing this. Maybe I wouldn't be doing this in, you know, my 15 and 5 years, or my 16 and 6 years, or however that number is. But, you know, maybe if I got the opportunity, I'd be doing it earlier.
What was your, Christian, your childhood like, playing, learning to love the game, playing on teams? What was that like for you? Like, how did you come to the game? Did you love it right away? Not every big guy loves to play.
I've always loved the game. I played it since I was six. My first pair of shoes were Kobe's. But my thing was, as a kid growing up, I was always the guy that was slept on, which is crazy. You know, I went to a powerhouse prep school in Finley Prep. I was playing behind Anthony Bennett, which he was the number one pick at the time. Brandon Ashley, I think he was a top 10 recruit at the time. I was playing against behind guys like that. So my whole career, I've always just been that sleeper kid that nobody, you know, knew about. And, you know, sometimes on some sites, I wasn't even, you know, ranked. And it just goes to show, you know, that how much work I put in to try and, you know, put myself out there.
When you think back to, like, the whole journey, Christian, is there part of you that says, listen, I guess it could have been easier. But when you think about how it shapes you and maybe the way you appreciate things differently than other guys might in the league because of what you've been through, would you trade it? Do you think that there was value in what you had to endure?
I wouldn't trade it for a world. I think going through everything made me to what I am now, which it made me have this chip on my shoulder, which I felt like I needed going into this league. You know, it made me, you know, it made my confidence go up. It made me go through the bad just to get to the good. So it's definitely something that I'm appreciative for. And I wouldn't trade it any other way because, you know, some guys come in, they get drafted, they get all this leisure, they get all this stuff. You know, I had to come in, claw, scratch, you know, fight for the last roster spot on every single team that I've been on besides the one I'm on today. And it's hard work, and I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Do you wake up some days and still go, oh, like you're so used to waking up every day in all these years with all these teams wondering, am I going to play? Am I going to get sent down back to the G League? Am I going to get waived? What's it like to wake up and just know I just got to prepare to play tonight and I'm going to put up my 20-10 on somebody?
I don't try and think necessarily like that. I try and keep the same mindset that I'm just that last guy still trying to make a roster spot, that I'm still the 15th man trying to get picked, still trying to fight and to claw off the bench. That's how I approach, you know, my games. And I think with that attitude, it brings the energy to the team and it helps my team out as well.
You mentioned your coach, Steven Silas. He had been an assistant in Charlotte when you were there. And so, you know, Adam Pensack, your agent, tells you, hey, Houston's really interested. Here's what they might offer. Let's get on the phone with them. Mm-hmm. Were you curious? Like, what was your relationship like with Steven when you were there? Did you think that it was helpful to actually have somebody who had coached you before?
I actually did. When I was my time with him in Charlotte, he was my workout coach. So he was the guy I was always going to. So he knew my game, you know, in and out completely. He knew what I was capable of. He knew what, you know, I could bring to the floor. But he's, you know, never had that opportunity to be a head coach, obviously. But, you know, he knew exactly what I could do on the floor. So when Houston called and I heard about, you know, him getting a head coaching job, I was like, oh, man, it's another opportunity for me with a coach that, you know, likes me and likes my style of play. It's another opportunity for me to play.
What's it been like without fans? Are you getting used to the fact that there are no fans generally? I think, like, Houston has – your arena allows some.
Yeah, they allow, I think, like 2,000.
2,000, right. And so it's like being at like an AAU tournament. Like,
right.
It's like a big empty arena. But but everywhere else you're playing in the league, a lot of places, there's nobody in there.
Yeah.
And you weren't in the bubble, so you didn't experience that. What's that been like?
It's been definitely something that I'm used to. I've been in a G League, and we haven't had fans in there at all. So it's definitely games I'm used to playing in. You just never would expect it going into an NBA game, you know, but it's definitely something I'm getting used to and it's something I've been used to. So it's something that's fun.
Christian, this was great. I appreciate you taking the time out. You are off to tremendous season.
Thanks,
23 points, almost 10 rebounds, 2 blocks a game for the Rockets, just as you're starting out in this 3-year, $41 million deal. But listen, continued good luck, Christian. Good to catch up with you.
Thanks, Walsh. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Woj Pod. A big thank you to our guest today, Houston Rockets center Christian Wood. You can listen to new and archived episodes of the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to also check out Jalen and Jacoby, The Low Post with Zach Lowe, and The Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst. We'll catch you next time.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.